friends, some of you I know, as I see a few faces that has visited us there in Windhoek on the missions outreach. I know there's other guys sitting. We went together to Nepal. So it's really great to look at you guys and to know that a lot of us, I can also see a face there back in 2003. We were together on the first year's camp way long ago and far away. But it's really great to be here with you guys. It's great to stand here tonight and to know that God's presence is here. Sometimes when the worship was like tonight, then I really feel that this is really necessary for me to preach. Can't we just go on and just worship God and ask God to circumcise our hearts and to come and work in our hearts? So before I go any further, I just would like to pray. Lord God, we want to thank you, Father God, for being here tonight, Lord God. And Lord, we want to honor you, Father God. And Lord, we want to say that everything we do here tonight, Lord, everyone who's doing something, Lord God, we just want to say, Lord, that everything must point to Jesus Christ, Lord God. We just want to worship you as our King and our Father, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we can know that we are your children, Father God. And Father, I want to ask and pray, Father, that the things of the week that's past, Lord God, or the things that's laying ahead, the things that our minds are thinking about, Lord, that we will just put it to the side now, Lord God, and just that we will just come and sit here and be still, Father God, and receive from you, Lord, and thank you for the amazing, wonderful worship that we could bring to you tonight, Lord, and we know that it was good, Father God, and we just thank you for your word, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take you up on that three babies, huh? If you don't have twins, you mustn't say things like that. A few times I told my brother-in-law, listen, okay, we got twins, and so the blessing is going to be on you. You're going to have three. But after a few months, I said to him, listen, Rian, our friend, I take it back. Not that three isn't a blessing, but you must really be called for that because you really, that's challenging. But it's a good thing to have kids. I'll show you the photos of my wife and kids that can't be here tonight. We were in Malmesbury this morning. It's hot here, but I promise you, Malmesbury were even hotter. They were there with me, and they're usually the young kiddies, they're a bit more difficult this time of the day. Those of you who have got kids, you'll know it. So on my wife's and two boys' behalf, maybe I can just show. There's my wife, Maritza. God bless the a normal guy like me with an awesome wife. I heard something awesome last night. We were at a wedding. Pastor Fred married two guys from our congregation. And at the end of the guy's speech, he said something that just before he walked away, he said, look, I know tonight that me and the lady is making a good catch. So I think me and Maritza had a good catch. But and then on the next photo, you'll see that's my one little boy, Alvin. He's totally mum's little boy. It's not a similar twins or identical twins. That's the one. And there's my little lookalike. 30 years ago, I looked like that. His name is Gustav. And I hope that you guys will meet them sometime. Maritza is also pregnant again. Yep. we've been married for 4 years, and we can show a lot for that. So that's awesome. God, it's, I believe we're in God's will. So I think in about 10 weeks' time, it's that time again. So then I'll be standing like this in the pulpit again. And on the English note, I just would like to say in Namibia, I'm the pastor there in Windhoek, you know, English is our official language, but most people speak English as their second language. They actually call it Namlish because the English isn't very pure, if I can say it like that. And I'm one of those semi-bilingual guys, so I'm going to try my best tonight, but I know God's grace is good and things will work out. So, soos hulle sê, goeie tye. It's amazing. The message I want to share with you started actually about exactly 1 month ago. I went quickly back to Windhoek. There was some stuff I had to do. I had to get a new re-entry visa when I go back to Namibia. Which isn't sorted, by the way, yet. So if you want to pray for me, it will be great afterwards. But I was sitting there the afternoon, and my wife and kids stayed in South Africa. It's a bit expensive to take them with us all the time. And, you know, God started speaking to me in that week, and I prepared a sermon, and I preached it there the Sunday. And I'm going to preach a big part of that tonight again. But, okay, and then maybe I must just say that, as Steve said, we're doing the ministry training program. When we left for Namibia in 2008, there wasn't an MTP program yet. We left very quickly, about 4 or 5 weeks since we heard the message that we should go. We went to Namibia. So we just came back for a bit of blessing. And I can really say it's been a blessing. We've been at, from the beginning of January till the end of March, we'll be doing the ministry training program. A lot of impartation. And I can really say there's really, the senior pastors are really imparting a lot on us. And there's a certain momentum created in our group. And I can see that the guys are hungry to go out and really to do the work of the ministry. And that's great. So, but yeah, and okay, so while we're doing the ministry training program, every Sunday morning we either preach or go to different congregations. We have been to Paul, and last week we've been to the guys in Ceres. It was also very hot there that day. But you know what? Yesterday, for the first time this year, I actually got some time to listen to one of Pastor Fred's sermons. And it was amazing. As I sat there listening, Pastor Fred preached on the same day, the 7th of February, he preached on, I think the title was "The Being on the Top of the Food Chain." Some of you guys might have been there. And it was just amazing because as I mean, I had my sermon already finished for today and I was listening there, and about 70% of what I've got here was in his sermon. I know Pastor Fred is right or correct. I got the confirmation. So not the other way around. So it was really wonderful for me to know as an individual that, you know, God is speaking to all of us the same message. And the title of my sermon tonight will be, "Does the Devil Cheat You from Time to Time?" So let me first tell you what I do not mean by that. If your sport team, if you shout for the Stormers or something like that, and like a week ago they mess up a bit and they don't win the game, that's not the devil, guys. Or if you go and fetch your mail and there's a little envelope and it says SARS on that, it's not from the devil, eh? It's something we should do. We should pay our taxes. Or if you're a golf player and your feet are correct and you eyes everything you practice, you learn, and you're looking for that 10-foot putt and you just miss it by an inch, it's not the devil. Can I have an amen? Okay. So not everything. I'm going to talk a bit about the devil at the start, but not everything is the devil, and I want you guys to know that. But it's important that we know. God says in Scripture we are in a war, and we should know who our enemy is. You know, for instance, if you play a sport game today, there's so much video and analysis and things about the other teams that the guys know each other so well even before they run onto the field, and it's important that we know it as well, who our enemy is. So I'm going to start off with, and I just got there from the Chambers Dictionary. It became one of my big friends there in Windhoek. I also preach in English because we've got friends there from Zimbabwe and Angola that doesn't prat Afrikaans as ek en jy. But so I visit the Chambers sometimes to give us great explanations for some of the words. And the Chambers, that word for cheat, it said mislead, deceive, fool, trick, defraud, or double cross. Now, you know that thing from Tom and Jerry where the mouse trap is set and a little bit of, sorry, the piece of cheese are in there. You know that picture. We all grew up with that. Now, the devil loves to do that with us. And the thing is, we, when I finish here tonight, my heart is that you guys and all of us will be able to, that we can discern that trap from a mile. Because if you've facilitated the Foundation 304, the Liberty or Legacy, you'll know so many people are caught into the traps of the devil, the snares he puts out there for us. So if you look at those words I just used, after you've sinned or did something wrong or you bought a lie from the devil, then you feel like that. You feel like you're double-crossed or you were tricked or something. And that's not from God. God doesn't want us to feel like that. Okay, so let me read to you firstly from 2 Timothy 2, verse 26. And it says there, "And they may come, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." And I just underline that part, the snare of the devil. And that was the thing I'm talking about. You know, the devil loves it when we take that piece of cheese. You know, then he feels good because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, he loves it when we take it and he know we are depressed afterwards or we've sinned or something. Or even better, his jackpot is if he can bring something, a wig or something, between our relationship between God and ourselves. If he can do that, the devil is a happy guy. I also want to read to you from John 8, verse 44. I call it the character of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, that's a big, almost like a summary. You can see other translations, that word resources, that's from the New King James, the NIV, or other calls it from his own character. So when he lies and stuff, that's from his heart. That is who he is. It's all the bad things. You see, so we must, if Scripture says this is the way it is, then I believe 100% it's true. That's the way it is. For instance, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. That is what the devil likes to do. Another scripture I've got is from Luke 8, verse 12. "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So can you see what the devil wants to do? If he can get us not to believe and not to be saved, nah, then he's happy. Now that's not what we want. God says we are his children, we are overcomers, and this is the message of tonight. You know, we mustn't be deceived by that devil of old, by those lies of the devil, to buy it. A last scripture I've got is from Matthew 4, verse 1. "And then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Now that is just after Jesus was baptized and God said to him, "You are my well-beloved son." Now what a way to start your ministry, going to the desert to be tempted by the devil. I think I started mine a bit more on an easy way than that. So I think it's, and that is, if Scripture says that, I just want to use this as a background that we guys can know what the devil wants to do. You know, we're not going to focus on the devil, we focus on Jesus, but we must know what Scripture says the devil likes to do. So I want to give you an example, but before I do that, if there's anyone who wants to take a piece of water, a sip of water, I'm going to. Thank you, Theo. Let me explain to you what I mean by, does the devil cheat you from time to time? A while ago, before I went to Namibia, I took my wife and kids halfway to Swellendam. My parents-in-law lives in Mossel Bay, and they went halfway to fetch them. And as I was, kissed and blessed and loved, and they're going, and now I'm driving home in my car all alone, and I love driving on my own because that's a great time for me to think about things and to sing. You know, I really admire the worship team because I can't sing or dance or nothing. You know, I'm a bit clueless on that, but I know I've got a place in God's kingdom. I can remember it. I invited a colleague, a lady, to work, to church. And the first time she came with me and it was great. But the second time our arrangement wasn't quite up to it and something went wrong. And now eventually while we were worshiping, she was walking right up to me. And I asked her afterwards, "How did you find me? Because that, you know, church in Stellenbosch is quite big." And she said, "No, it was quite easy. You know, when everyone's hands are there, when they're clapping, mine was here and vice versa." So I try my best, guys, but that's not for me. But I really, Robert and you guys, you're really anointed for that. So I was driving back home from Swellendam thinking about a lot of stuff. And you know, this music playing, gospel music playing. And the next moment, you know, I started, you know that thing you starting to fight in your head about something. Now, and I'm actually starting to get a bit cross and annoyed and I'm really battling with this thing. And I just felt the next moment, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Carl, the devil is cheating you." And I thought about it and I thought, yes, that's totally true. That is exactly what's happening right now. You know, because I had this argument in my head and I started to almost want to say to talk to the devil about this and to fight about it and to accuse and things like that. Anyone of you who can relate with that? A lot of honest guys. That's awesome. This morning when I asked it in Mama's Breed, it was only a few guys. So maybe they're a bit more holy-like than you. But no, I'm joking. But you know, I was, maybe Theo will bounce me out of here if I say something like that or not invite me again. They're more religious. Thank you. You know, and I was thinking about it, and it was like a sword. You know, it was cutting right to me, and I knew the devil sold me a lie. I bought it, and I started to fight about that. You know, and there God started to speak to me about this thing. That's from where the title of the sermon comes. Does the devil still cheat you from time to time? And that's the question I want to ask you guys tonight. And I'm really, really going to trust God that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and at the end, I know there's people who need to be set free. I know there's some of us that just can't get out of those lies. And I really trust God for that. You know, sometimes, or maybe in your workplace, you finish your work, you try your best, you give it all, and then you just feel, but it's not good enough. Maybe in your marriage, you know, you try to impress your husband or wife, you try to cook a good meal, you know, the lady also at the wedding last night, she said, honey, I love you, but I can't cook, but I'll give my best. You know, and sometimes we feel like that, and coming from a heart like that, it's 100%. We can all learn those things. I can maybe even learn to dance, we never know. But bottom line is, you know, or even children, you know, maybe you are playing on a sports field, you're trying your best academically, and you just feel, but you're not pleasing dad, you're not making him, giving him a smile on his face, you know, and all those things, the devil will come to you, and he will almost give color to that picture, you know, and you will feel rejected, or you'll buy the lie, or something like that. But that is not what God wants for us. Now, the devil really loves to, in places like our hearts, our thoughts, our marriages, our relationships, even with God, he will come and tell you maybe, but this is the way God sees you. Again, if you've facilitated liberty or legacy, you'll know that so many people have got such a wrong perceptions about who our Father God is. And it's awesome to stand here tonight to tell you guys that I know that I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. And that's awesome to know. And I know that you guys know it as well. Our relationships. And then also another thing that we must be really cautious of is idols. You know, so easy. That thing slips so easy into our hearts. You know, if you're driving and let's say your free time, the time you're not working or talking to your friends or husbands or wives, you know, so easy. If you say, for instance, you want to buy a new cricket bat, you know, and you think so much about that thing. And you must ask yourself the question, aren't I spending more time on that thing than on my relationship with God? Aren't I more excited about that than my relationship with God? And that's the red lights that we must always watch out for. If we see that things happen, then we must really be careful. Okay. Now I want to go on and I want to read to you a few examples from Scripture. And there I want to say something. In my eyes, I see it as 50-50 moments. So I want to read to you firstly from Genesis 3. Those of you who've got Bibles can read with me from Genesis 3 verse 1. And it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Question mark, you see. He's questioning, he's asking her, is that true or not? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you will eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Now the rest of it, you know, it's history. But you see, there's something, and that's what I want to call that 50-50 moment. All of us, and you'll know it, I know it in my own life and heart, that at a moment like that, you must think, am I going to do this? Yes or no. Am I going to walk away? Yes or no. Am I going to take that thought captive? Yes or no. God gave us our own will, our own free will. We aren't programmed like robots to just do the right thing or this or that. You know, we can choose. And I just want to use it as an example that I believe she had the ability at that moment to choose whether she wanted to do that or not. I want to read another example to you from 2 Samuel 11. And I'm going to read there from verse 1 to 5. You'll all know that example very well, probably. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed. Okay, and then I'm going to read from verse 5. And a woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, I am with the child, or I'm pregnant. Now, it happened to me also about 28 weeks ago. My wife came to me, and she said, Carl, I'm pregnant. Now, that's great. Who of the men in the house, who of your wives came to you and told you that before? It's great, eh? It's a wonderful thing when your wife comes to me. I was a bit shocked because we were still recovering from the twins in a sense. But we're very excited about the little daughter who's on her way. But you know, that's a wonderful thing. God intended it. It's life. It's a blessing of our children. But I guarantee you guys, when David got that message, he knew he was in trouble. He knew he was wrong. And that child died because of his sin. You see? Now the thing is, again, I want to, that 50-50 moment, after he awake from his afternoon sleep and he was walking on the roof of the king's house, when he saw that woman or that lady bathing, he must have said, that's not my wife, I'm not going to look at it, I'm going to walk away. You know, guys, and it's ugly. You know, on Thursday, our day off, me and my wife walked in CNA and I was looking at magazines, and one section was just a lot of nude people. It's so bad, you know, but we must decide what we're going to do with that. You know, and I've got a lot of respect for David. I mean, God called him a man of his own heart. We all know he had it in his hand to kill King Saul, and he said, I'll not touch. He was the Lord's anointed. He was really a man of integrity. But you see, he made a mistake there. The one guy who's doing the MTP with us, he's from the film industry, and he said, especially men, has got a cinema and a whole editing studio and everything up here. And it's true. I know it, you know. And God or the devil will come and you will give this thing so, he'll give you so many options and thoughts and ideas and pictures. You'll do it full color, multicolor, you know. But we must walk away from things like that. Otherwise, that's the whole mousetrap thing. The devil is sitting there looking at that thing, and he knows if David will take that bite, you know, he can steal, kill, and destroy. He can maybe even get something between him and God. And David mourned a lot. He really repented about what he'd done. Now, it was a few weeks ago, and a young man came to me, and he was struggling with pornography. Now, it's something that we should talk about, because so many guys are caught in that evil, you know, and we should really look at each other in the eyes. And he said to me, Carl, I just can't break through from this thing. Now, you get a, I'm not sure what the program's name, or I think it's something like Blue Collar, or, you know, it's got this Labrador dog on it. For instance, if you Google a website that's got certain titles or names in it, then if you haven't got the password, the computer won't allow you to go there. So he set it all up, and he said, I must type in the password, and he's not going to look at it. And I typed in a password and forgot about it. So now, he actually, on his own computer, on his own laptop, he can't look at sites like that because it's a weakness for him. But I've got so much respect for him coming to me or to anyone and tell, listen, let's pray about this, but I want to be proactive. I want to do something about this. I'm not just going to want to be the slagskapie every time in this, because whenever he sits alone in his room or wherever, it's for him a challenge. And so many guys are caught up in this thing. So that's why I said, I want you guys, when we leave, I want to trust God in my own life as well, that when the devil puts that trap out there, that we will sense it from a mile, that we'll go past it, because there's nothing good in that. So, and that's the example, King David, I believe he also made that mistake. Last scripture, I'm not going to read it to you. It's the lost son. There's a lot of examples in scripture. And scripture says he got his inheritance from his father. And then he went to a foreign country. You remember, there's no accountability. He's not under his father's hand anymore. And he spent his inheritance on wild living. Now, I don't know how fast cars looked like in those days, but maybe it was a good camel. Probably he spent it on liquor, women. That's the things I think is meant by wild living. Now, again, he had a choice, you see. It wasn't something he had to do. He could rather go and buy a piece of land, buy some animals, and start to build a little kingdom for himself. But he, at the end, he sat there with the pigs, and he really felt sorry for himself. And he made that mistake as well, you see. But there was a certain time that he had to choose. And that's the thing. We must all choose what we are going to do regarding that. Now, that was the harsh part. I'm going to honor the wonderful part, the overcoming part. And I called it solutions. I want to read to you there from Ephesians 4, verse 27. And it says, "Nor give place to the devil." And my Bible says that that word place, they use it's derived from the Greek word tuopos. And it says, the Greek word for tuopos, for place is tuopos, emphasize that believers can actually give ground in their lives to satanic control. We call it a lot of times, we call it the open door. Now you see, that exactly what that young man that came to me with that password did. He knew that if I'm going to look at pornography and whatever goes with that, I'm going to give a lot of open ground for the devil to come and take me out. And that's exactly what the devil is doing. Because after that, he doesn't feel like praying. He doesn't feel like ministry. He doesn't feel like talking to his friends or pastors or whoever, you know. And that's stealing, killing, and destroying. So it's so important that we as believers know, guys, that we should not allow the devil this much. If you're battling with alcohol, smoking, whatever it might be, then avoid it. Walk a mile past those things. Don't give a little bit of openness, an open door for the devil to come and attack you. Otherwise, he'll use it, I promise you. Ephesians 6 verse 1, you know it very well. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Once again, the chamber says that word wiles. That's the tricks, the deception or the devices of the devil. We can see how cunning he is. Then in Genesis we read, he was the most cunning. He's a sly animal, you know. I once almost stepped on a snake in Namibia, and it was almost this time of the day. I was walking from a waterhole. I was working there, a hunting farm, and I was thinking about everything except the snake. And you know, it was a puff other end. It was just curled up, laying there, and I don't know why, but something just told me, look. And I was literally like 30 or 40 centimeters from that, and I give a big, big jump. I just escaped it. But that's part of being cunning. He's lying there waiting for you. Waiting for you to do something wrong. And that's the bad part. But the good part is where we are right now. To put on the whole armor. You guys know where that is. I'm not going to read it to you. You didn't say to me how much time I have, but I believe I've still got a lot of time. To be here, awesome. Then we're going to read all the scriptures. Let's read from James 4 verse 7 as well. "Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Now you'll tell me, Pastor, that's not so easy. I've been trying to resist the devil, you know, but when you resist the devil, you can't say, "Okay, devil, los my nou uit vanmiddag, ek gaan nou rustig wees." Werk nie so nie. It's not like that. You really have to go and quote scripture back to the devil. Not once, not twice, but many times. Because you know what? He will flee from you, but he'll come back. He'll always come back, you know. He will always come back and try and see where he can catch you, where he can get you. You know, and he's such a cunning guy. But I want to encourage you guys. You know, I've tried it in my own life. When the devil comes to you and tell you, listen, you are too fat or too thin or too this or too that, or you're not a good father or good employee or something, then you just quote scripture back to him and you tell him, "I'm going to resist you," and scripture says you'll flee from me. Go and do that. I believe it works. Not you. Amen. Okay. Then I'm going to read Romans 8 verse 37. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Scripture says we are more than conquerors. And together with that, another scripture which I really love, 1 John 4 verse 4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Now we know in 1 John scripture says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, you know. So we must be careful, but we must know that he who is in us is bigger than who he is in the world. You see, and that was that sermon of Pastor Fred as well. We're at the top of the food chain. We're not at the bottom. We mustn't sit there and sulk, feel sorry for ourselves. We must go and conquer the world. We must go to the nations and the generations. We must tell them about our Lord Jesus Christ. We mustn't be so busy fighting these things in our heads and our hearts because this guy said this to me or that to me, or I feel like this or that. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. I really treasure that so much. And then last from 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, guys, Jesus isn't hanging on the cross anymore. He died, but he has risen. You know, we've got the same spirit as Jesus. We're not, Pastor Fred talked in his sermon about, you know, so many times that why does things go so bad for believers? And then he talks about, you know, the lions who hunt in a pack, you know, and we must learn those things as well. Have you seen lions at the heat of the day in Africa? They lie under the tree. They're not scared about anything, you know, because they know they're lions. And we must know it as well. We are also the Lion of Judah. You know, we've got Christ's spirit in us and we are overcomers. Okay, then I really trust, that's my heart for all of us tonight, that whenever the devil comes, when you're sitting in the traffic or wherever, when he comes for you, you're telling, listen, I'm bigger than you. But you know what I mean by that. It's really important. Okay, then there's a last few things. I almost want to call it tips. I think it's really a few important things that I've learned and seen in my own life that I want to encourage you guys in and to really talk about in your small groups, talk about it in your with your friends or family or spouse. And that is how not to become deceived by the devil, how not to be cheated by the devil. Except that you must know who you are. Except that you must know that you're an overcomer. There's a few basic things that I believe that we have to get right, that the devil, that we will make it a bit harder for the devil. And the first one is the Word of God. You know, we really need to read the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God. You know, there's so much I still want to know and learn about the Word of God. If you got a program like Eastward, Bible dictionaries, this is amazing. If you go to the Shofar Head Office and you visit Pastor Henny Swart, he's got a whole library of books there. It's the most amazing stuff. I wish I can read and remember all of it because then I'm going to be a great pastor. But you must really read Scripture. You must make it your own. You must treasure it. You must know the power of it. It's alive. It's so important that we spend good time in the Word. You know, I started, when I was born again, started reading Scripture. And I just read the small paragraphs and things. But, you know, that's usually such a small part of the puzzle. You must read a few chapters, you know, when it's holiday, when it's Saturday, when you have time. You know, all of us got busy programs. But, guys, when you have time, someone told me once that, and it really meant so much to me, we must charge our batteries. It's important that when we have time that you should read a lot of Scripture. You know, that it's in your heart, that you can know it off by heart. We must learn it. And then secondly, to pray. You know, if I don't speak for 2 or 3 days to my wife, problems in the house, you know. But the same to God, you know. You can't speak for 2 or 3 days not to God and then just think everything's going to be okay. You need to tell God. He's our Father, remember. He wants to know what's going on in your heart. You know, I remember in 2002 when I was born again, I went to visit a small group. And then somewhere in the evening, the self-facilitator talked about God said this to him and God showed that to him. And I thought, like, what are you meaning? I mean, I'm 22 years old and God never showed me anything, you know. And then he explained to me. Then he said, you know, if you go to your opa or oma on the farm and you look at those old radios with the big turning knob, you know, and when you turn it, it makes a bit like, you know. But once at the right frequency, you can hear very clearly what the radio says. And when I was a young believer, my frequency wasn't very good. But as I started spending time with God, I got it right, you know. And I'm still growing in it. I still believe we all can. But it's not just a thing about talking to God. God speaks back to us, you know. And that's so important that we grow in that. Thirdly, not be isolated. Guys, if you get yourself isolated, then the cheese of that trap just gets bigger. It's so important that you... That's why I want to encourage you. It's so good to be not of this congregation and come and tell you this. Spend time in ministry. Go to the small groups. Go to the relationship seminars and all that things that are. There's so many things where you can join. Go to those things. Don't be isolated. Get a good friend. Me and Philip and a few other guys the other night in cell, we spoke about that. And, you know, if you're isolated, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Get yourself a good friend. SMS each other, phone each other. You all got 3 minutes, I believe. And just ask that guy sometime. This Skype, this email, your accountability partner can almost sit in Australia or somewhere. You know, and just ask that guy, listen, how are you doing? Are you spending time in the Word? What's happening in your life? You know, you don't have to ask him 20 questions. Just talk to him. And check on your friend because you love him. It's for his own good and for yours. That guy, you know, that and that you will pick up the warning signs when something is wrong. Okay. And then fourthly, this is big, big time important. Be planted. You know, when you go to the north of Namibia and you see, they call it omborobongos or leadwoods. If you pick up those branches, it's very, very heavy. They can burn smolder for a long time after a fire has gone through. But you know those trees, they stand there literally for ages, or the krimatartbome, those things are standing there for almost thousands of years, some of them. But you know what? They are planted. Their roots are going down to the living water. And we need to be the same. You know, because when the thunder and the rain and the drought and the heat of the day are coming, you can't stand on your own. You need to be planted. And it's so important to be planted in your local church. And you know what? Something I actually, in a sense, only discovered a while ago. We don't decide where we must be planted. God decides. No? God decides where he wants to plant us. So we mustn't go to Steers, Kentucky, Spur and try to implement that in church. We must go and ask God, where should I be planted? Because there, God will bless you. There will be provision for you. Amen. And then lastly, something I also had to learn in, and I, you know, is to serve. You know, if you don't want to be cheated by the devil, if you don't want to trap in his traps, that doesn't sound right. If you don't want to walk into his traps, then you must serve, guys. You know, because so many times you're at home or you're doing this or that. I remember so many times when I was a student still, and I had to go to zone cell or whatever meeting, and I thought like, I must study, and I've got this or that. I've got so many things to do, and I'm a bit maybe irritated or tired or something. But you know what? When you go to that meeting, when you go to that zone cell, you know, it's such a blessing to be there. When you go home, most of your issues are sorted out, you know, because you went to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when I was a young Christian, I started off by tithing about 25% of my tenth. But we have to start somewhere. I wasn't a big giver, but I had to grow in it. Now I'm past 10%, and it's a blessing. I can tell you, the more you give, the more you will receive. I promise you it, because Scripture says so. You can stand on that. And so I want to encourage you all as well that there's a lot of, in our church, there's a lot of places where you can serve. There's a lot of places where you can give. You can be in the worship team. There's guys I admire, like Keith, sitting there because he knows what's going on in all those wires. Look at that wires quickly. It's a lot of them, blue and yellow and everything. And I know Keith knows everyone as his own little children. So there's a place for all of us. There's a place for all of us to serve. It's important, guys. So I really want to encourage you, you know, I really want to encourage you guys that, you know, that little picture, maybe you've seen it in an email sometime, when this little kitten looks in the mirror, and when he looks, the reflection that he sees back is this big lion. You know, we must be like that. You know, even if you look at yourself and you think, I'm just the average guy and with the average job and everything. But if you look back at that reflection, you must see something of Jesus there. You must see something of Christ there. You must know that you are overcomer, that you are bigger, that he who is in you is bigger than you is in the world. And if we walk in that, you know, then you'll wake up in the morning and you'll be hungry to go out there. Who of you are in full-time ministry? Wrong. All of you. All of you. You know, I'm just working for the church, if I can call it that. That's my calling. But you know, if you go to your workplace, that's also full-time ministry. You know, if you go there, you can love someone. You can take someone a sandwich. You don't have to. You can share the gospel. Do it. But there's so many things that we can do to really bless the people around us. So I want to ask you guys, will you please stand with me tonight? I want you all to please close your eyes, because I'm going to ask a question or two, and I really want to tell you guys, it's something between you and God. It's not between me and you. It's not between you and the person standing next to you. So while all eyes are closed, I want to ask you tonight, if you are battling with this thing, if you feel that the devil is constantly cheating you, if you feel that you just cannot get out of this, as I used the example of that one guy with the pornography, maybe if you are permanently not satisfied with the way you look or anything like that, if there's anyone like this here tonight, if you feel you just cannot break free from a certain type of lie that the devil sells to you in multicolor all the time, I would like to pray with you afterwards. But if there's anyone like that, I want you guys, of all of you guys now, just for 30 seconds, just in your own heart, just speak to God about that. And then I also want to ask you tonight, if there's anyone here tonight, God would have already spoken to you while we were sitting here. If there's any of you here tonight and you don't know that God is your Father, if you didn't have a born-again experience, if you don't know if God is your Savior, if you don't know if where you stand in your relationship with God, or if you know for a fact that things between you and God is not right, if there's anyone like that tonight, I say, I know God would have already spoken to you. If there's anyone here tonight and you want to make a commitment to God, to serve Him, to be a new person in Jesus Christ, if there's anyone like that, if while all eyes are closed, I want you to raise your right hand, please. If there's anyone like that. Father God, we want to come to you tonight, Lord, and we just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you sustain us, Father God. Thank you for your scripture, Father, that can make us full, that can feed our spirits, Father God. Thank you that we can stand here tonight and that we can say, Lord, we can do nothing in our own strength, Lord God. Lord, we've got so much respect. You called King David a man after your own heart, Lord, but even he didn't get it right, Lord God. And Father, we want to ask tonight, Lord, all of us, Lord, but I pray, Lord God, that you'll come and help us, Father, that you'll come and make us strong, Lord God, that we will see who we are in Jesus Christ, Lord, that we will know who we are, that we will know that the victory has already been finished, Father God. It's ours, Lord God, that we'll know that you who is in us is bigger than you is in the world, Lord God. And I want to pray, Father God, that you'll speak to us. Thank you that I know that you are hungry to speak to us, Lord God. That when we wake up in the morning, Lord God, when we open our eyes, Lord, that we will start to speak to you, Lord, just about the day that lies ahead, Lord, that we will share our hearts with you, Father God. And thank you, Lord, that I know that you listen to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can call you our Father, Lord. You created the heavens and the earth, Lord God. We don't even know how big you are, Lord God, but we know, Lord, you are Father, you are King. You are Creator, Lord God. And yes, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless every family represented here tonight, Lord God. That you'll give every family favor, Lord God, for people who must make decisions, Lord God. That you'll speak to them, that you'll clearly show them to turn left or right, Lord God. That you'll speak to them, Father, that you'll give them double confirmation, Father God. And Lord, that we will be planted, Lord, and that we will serve, Father God, that we will take up the yoke with Jesus Christ, Father God, and that we will have a joy in our hearts to go to people out there and just to love them, Father God, and just to let our light shine, Father. I pray, Lord God, that when the devil comes and he put out that little pieces of cheese, Lord, when he want to cheat us or want that snares that Scripture is talking about, Father God, I pray, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit will come and warn us, that we can pass that trap by a mile, Father God, that we will not even step in it a little bit, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name, that we can be overcomers, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. That guy that raised your hand, and if there's any one of you guys, there's going to be a facilitator here with me. I want to pray with you tonight. I want to invite you guys to the front. If you just want someone, there's so much power in a prayer of agreement. I want to invite you to come and stand here with me. I would like to pray with you. If you feel you just cannot get out of this thing, the devil catches you time and again, I want to invite you now. It's going to be a bold thing, but to come to the front. There's people who's going to pray with you. That person that raised his hand for the salvation, I want to invite you as well to come to the front. So yes, guys, please, I don't want you guys, as I said, that's my heart for tonight, that we should be overcomers. If you feel that you just cannot break free from a certain cycle of sinful behavior of anything, please come to the front. We would like to pray with you. Thank you. You guys must enjoy the rest of the evening. Be blessed. I'm looking forward to see you again. Amen.